I'll invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. If you're here this morning, we had considered chapter 1 in terms of the songs of Mary and of Zechariah. And I had noted this morning, just as you turn there just by way of introduction, I had noted this morning that as Luke gives to us this account of the birth of Christ, right, his annunciation as the angels pronounce that the king that the people awaited is finally coming and is soon to arrive, that as Luke recounts this story, it's not just dry propositional truths for him, right? It's not just statements that are just written on a blackboard that he affirms with his mind. No, his heart engages in it. And the hearts of the people who hear this good news, they're engaged in it. And so as they hear the good news, they are spontaneously sort of explode in song and in joy. We saw the song of Mary, the Magnificat, as she magnifies the Lord. And we heard the song of Zechariah as he himself blesses the Lord who has visited his people. And so here, in Luke chapter 2, the singing continues as we hear the angels and the shepherds joining them, and we also hear Simeon singing as well. So we're going to read up to verse 40 of chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when it was time to circumcise him, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he had been conceived. When the time of their purification, according to the law of Moses, had been completed, Joseph and Mary took him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be consecrated to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice in keeping with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace, for my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel." The child's father and mother marveled at what was said about him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your own soul too." There was also a prophetess, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was very old. She had lived with her husband 7 years after her marriage, and then she was a widow until she was 84. She never left the temple, but worshipped night and day, fasting and praying. Coming up to them at that very moment, she gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were looking forward to the redemption of Jerusalem. When Joseph and Mary had done everything required by the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong. He was filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. We'll end our reading of God's word there. And ask you to please keep your Bibles open as we consider this passage together tonight. The dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, I had said this morning, if you were here, that the hymn of the carol, Christmas carol, "O Holy Night," in many ways captures what's going on in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2 in terms of the birth of Jesus Christ. And the opening verse of that hymn reads, "Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new glorious morn." And if you're here this morning, I'm not going to repeat everything that I said, but in many ways, what Luke is doing in this opening passage and these opening chapters is that he's painting a world that has grown weary in waiting. A world's grown weary in waiting. Even as we think about Simeon, verse 25 says that he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, as sort of a picture of really the whole nation. And then even regarding the prophetess Anna, right? It says in verse 38 that she was spoke to all who were looking forward, waiting for the redemption of Jerusalem. It was a people who had grown weary in waiting. And to this weary world, God breaks in. This weary world, left to its own resources, left to its own mechanisms, left to its own wisdom, could not unlock God's promises, could not bring about this promised glorious kingdom that awaited them. And so they had grown weary as God had not spoken for some 400 years of just silence, and this weariness has settled in. And to this weariness, Luke then tells us the account of the angels coming, right? The angels break in to Zechariah in the temple and to Mary as she's just going about her business, and even here to the shepherds, right? The angels break in to say that God is coming. God is about to do something great. This weary world, good news comes. But up to this good news, in many ways, you could even summarize the setting of the world in one way that a writer memorably put it, that until this good news had come, it had always been winter, but never Christmas, right? Always winter, but never Christmas. But here, Christmas has come. And with the coming of Christ, all of a sudden a thrill of hope arises, this explosion of joy in which songs then begin to be sung. We had sung and we had looked at the song of Mary. She magnifies the Lord. We looked at the song of Zechariah as he blesses the Lord. And even here in chapter 2, we have the song of the angels and the song of Simeon as they themselves, captured by the truths of Christmas, captured and marveling at the wonders of the incarnation of the Son of God, they too break out in song that helps us to understand what is taking place and helps us to again find the true meaning of all of this. That behind all of the gifts of this season, right, that the material nature of it all, and behind all the garland, which looks pretty and nice, and all of the lights, right, those things are great and good, but the heart of it all is the birth of the Son of God. The Son of God coming in the flesh to save sinners. And this is what the angels sing about. This is what Simeon sings about. And so I want us just to consider this evening the two songs of the angels and of Simeon. And those are going to be our 2 points this evening. If you remember, we talked about Mary and Zechariah. What was emphasized in their songs was the mercy and the salvation of God. Mercy was a key theme as God was faithful to his promises. And here, with the angels and Simeon, the two major themes that come out in both of their songs is that of God's glory and his peace. Right? Mercy and salvation is sort of the anthem of the coming of Christ. And glory is the trumpet blasts, and peace, the soft melody that is sung. And so we're going to consider the glory and the peace of God from these two songs. And so these angels, the angels' song comes first. As we hear about the birth of Christ taking place, we also hear that there are these shepherds nearby, watching the flock by night as they had done for many nights. And shepherds, as I know we had a really solid, great Sunday school lesson from one of our elders, our elder Doug. So if you have questions about this, or we don't have all the time to go into all the details, but feel free to ask him. He knows all of it. But shepherds, to give you some ideas, some things to chew on here. Shepherds themselves were not very credible. They were kind of pretty lowly and pretty much despised among men, right? They weren't even credible as witnesses in court. And yet, it's to these shepherds that the good news of the birth of the Son of God, the Messiah, it's to them that the angels first come. It's to the shepherds that God comes, overturning the wisdom of this world, rejecting the sort of structures that the world puts in place of credible or not credible. It's God, again, coming to those of low estate. He comes to the shepherds, sends his angels there. These angels appear to the shepherds at night. And as they appear, they sort of crack open the sky with this great glory that shines about them as they come to announce this good news. And they repeat to them, and then they state and sing to the angels, saying, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord." And so they announce the birth of this Christ, this King. And then as they announce his birth, all of a sudden this angelic army appears. And this angelic army begins to sing, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." And so in this short little song that the angels sing, you have what's taking place in heaven, and you have what's taking place on earth. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Heaven and earth unite in this wonderful chorus. Heaven and earth begin to sing of what is taking place with the birth of the Son of God. And so to think about heaven and earth, that in heaven the glory of God is now made visible. The glory of God is referring to the visible, the manifestation of the attributes of God, the display of his peace and his mercy in Christ. It's glory to God in the highest. The glory that was before God is now shown on this earth. The glory of God, the display of his glory, of his perfections, of his love, of his mercy, and that his glory has come to be displayed, yes, depicted in, with the angels themselves shining forth in this blinding light, but most concentrated and most focused in the face of the child that was born. It's why they have to go and to see him, right? It's not enough just to hear the news for these shepherds. It's not enough for them simply to hear that this great Son has been born. They need to see him, and they go and they behold his face, so that brighter than the glory of the angels, brighter than what blinded the shepherds, was the glory of God manifested in the birth of his son. Veiled to human eyes, right? He didn't look, it wasn't as if Christ Jesus in the manger laying there shone, but with his great light. But by the eyes of faith, you look upon this child, and there they see God's salvation manifested. They see his grace present. They see his mercy. They see his love. There in the face of this son, the glory of God is made visible. And when we think about this, right, when we think about this time of year, right, we recognize that we've been given a great gift. We recognize that during this time of the year especially, right, we recognize that God has given his own son to save us from our sins, to save us from the darkness, and to bring us into his light. But we also need to recognize that God has manifested his son to glorify his name. And of course, the glory of God and our joy are not opposed to one another. They coalesce. They come together. But here, as the angels sing of the glory of God, here we recognize that God has saved us for his own glory, to glorify his name. And that this glory of God is seen in the face of his son, who is our Savior, his salvation manifest. Think about what John, the Apostle John, will say in his first letter. And notice these words as he opens up this letter of his, that this salvation, again, is not something that we just hear about. It's something we must see. And today we do not see with our physical eyes, but by faith. John says, as he opens up his first letter, he says, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and have touched with our hands concerning the word of life, the life was made manifest, and we have seen it and testified to it and proclaimed to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may too have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and his Son, Jesus Christ. And we are writing these things so that our joy may be complete." Right, the things that have seen, that have been seen, the salvation of God in the face of his Son, that is what the gospel now presents to us, that we might see, that we might behold the same Son. We might see God's glory. So glory to God in the highest. And then secondly, on earth, peace to men on whom his favor rests. So there is glory and there is peace. Here the peace of God comes and is, again, also seen in the face of this child that was born. Because this child was born in order that the sins that had brought about God's wrath, that put us and separated us from God, that sin might be dealt with, that sin might be paid for, that the Son is born in order that peace with God might be a reality, might come and engulf us in it. Christ has been born and has brought peace with him. And that peace is, as the author says, to men, it's given to men on whom God's favor rests. It's not just a peace that is for all people. It's a peace for those who have come to believe in Jesus Christ. It's a peace that is given to all who come to Christ, believing in his name. It's not just a general peace that's for all people. It is a peace that is for all who have put their trust in the Son who was born. And so at the heart of the Christmas message is the glory of God shining in the face of Christ. It's the peace of God offered to all, offered to you, manifested in the face of this Son who was born in order that he may save us, he may redeem us, and he may glorify his Father. This is the song of the angels. It's the song of Christmas. It's the song that people who have been blinded by sin longing for something more, now they can see glory that satisfies. People who have been at enmity with God, now terms of peace are offered for nothing, only to receive this son. And so as the angels sing this song, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace. So then the shepherds, as they hear this news, right, they go and they see this child. They go and behold God's glory. They go and behold his peace. And they too rejoice. They too sing. As verse 20 says, that the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. And as the shepherds join in, so too, right, Luke invites us to join into the song of the angelic choir, join in with the shepherds and sing the praises of God because of the birth of his son. And so to this world, Christmas has come, angels are singing, shepherds are singing, but secondly, we want to consider the song of Simeon, the song of Simeon. So we mentioned right after the shepherds, we get this other sort of obscure figure, Simeon. Not much is told about him. Not much is said other than that he was a devout man, a righteous man. We're not told that he was necessarily a priest or he had some special office, but he's simply a man who was waiting for the consolation of Israel. And to him, the Holy Spirit had revealed in some sense, not sure exactly how, but the Holy Spirit had revealed to him that he would not die until he sees the Christ, until he sees the Messiah. And so as the Holy Spirit at this moment in time in history now leads him to the temple, he sees this child and he sees him with his parents, and he might, you know, ask Joseph, ask Mary, you know, can I hold your baby? As he holds this baby, and as he looks into the face of this baby, he recognizes that this was, and this is, the promised king, the one to whom he has longed to see, the one who he longed to set his eyes upon. And as he sees this child, as he recognizes this child, it says, verse 28, it says, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people, Israel. And what an amazing thing that takes place here. That this child, just by looking upon him, Simeon can basically die in peace. He's saying, I'm ready to go. You know, we might, you know, joking around, we might see a child or, you know, might, you know, a relative, a sister, or somebody might have a baby, and you go and you see this child, and you're like, oh, this baby is so cute, I could almost die, right? You know, it's hyperbolic, right? We're not really going to want it to die in that moment. But in one sense, right, Simeon's able to say that and in a real sense, because this child is the salvation of God. It is the peace of God, right? That very peace that the angels proclaimed on earth, Simeon is in some sense, its first recipient, or at least the first to acknowledge it. This peace, right? You now dismiss your servant in peace, right? The very peace of God that has been brought in this child is so strong and so powerful and such a bulwark for God's people that not even in the face of death does it sort of unfurl them or cause them dismay. Simeon, in the face of death, has peace because of this child, because this child has been born. And so Simeon, as he longed and waited, could now die in peace. His eyes have now seen God's salvation manifest in Jesus Christ. You had read from John earlier, right? John himself saying that what we have seen and heard, we tell to you, we hear today in the gospel. So even the Apostle Paul says to us this in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says, God saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began, and which has now been manifested through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel. The manifestation, the appearance of this child is the appearance of God's salvation that the people waited long to receive. So Simeon receives it. And so as God's glory has shone, and so now to Simeon and to the angels or to the shepherds, so now it becomes manifest to the world, right? As he says, which you have prepared, verse 21 or 31, you have prepared in the sight of all people a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people Israel. Peace. As the angels come singing, glory to God in the highest and peace. So Simeon says, I'm now at peace. And then he reverberates and echoes that glory back to God. The anthem of Christmas is the mercy and the salvation of God. The trumpet blast is his glory. And the peaceful melody is his peace. That's the song of Christmas. And that's what Luke wants us to sing as we join this song. A world that was once weary, a world that was waiting and growing tired, now rejoices. And for us, we need to see what Mary saw. We need to see what Zechariah saw. We need to see what the shepherds saw. We need to see what Simeon saw. Again, not with our physical eyes, but by faith. As we hear it in the gospel that Christ, Jesus, has come, that this baby who was born did not remain a baby, right? He lived a perfect life for sinners that he might obey God's law where we have failed. And he lives and he dies for us, taking our sins upon him on the cross, right? He was born to save us. And as he takes upon himself the sins of the world, he takes them and pays the full penalty of them. And on the third day, he rises again, and he ascends into heaven. And today, that is where we see him, seated at the right hand of the throne of the Majesty on high. That's where we see Christ. As we see him today, it's there that we see glory, we see salvation, we see mercy. And we recognize that it's there that all of our hopes and all of our lives, that's where it all lies for the Christian. For the believer. And so in Luke chapter 1 and chapter 2, we find a world weary, now rejoicing. And just to close with the words again of that carol, long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth, a thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new glorious morn. The day has come. Christmas day has dawned. Winter, the spell of winter is broken. And now we rejoice in the good news that our King has come and our King is reigning forevermore. Amen. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have sent forth your Son. You've given us him as an inexpressible gift that we did not deserve. And yet, Lord, out of your great love, you have manifested your salvation in him. So give us eyes to see, that our hearts also may be tuned by your Spirit to sing his praises today and forevermore. Grant us faith that we may walk in obedience before him and that we may love him more and more. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.